Ladies and gentlemen, elected members and staff, I declare the meeting open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people and we still respect their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the meeting is recorded, audio at least. I ask elected members if they foresee any item on the agenda where they might have a conflict of interest. I've got one towards the end there, a confidential matter, but we'll get to that. Councillor Hull?
With that same confidential matter, Mr Mayor, I'm named in that report and the contents of the relevance of that is being investigated by agencies at the moment, so I'd best step out.
Sure. There was an... Oh, yes, and when it comes to the elected member, what's it called, policy?
Mm-hmm. Not,
allowance and benefit policy. I have something there that I'll need to step out of the room for as well. If there's nothing else, we'll keep going. Would someone like to confirm the minutes of the General Council meeting of 9th of October? Councillor Telfer was there. Seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. We go to petitions. There's a petition in relation to Frederick Street, Glengowrie. People can see that on page 19. So would somebody like Councillor Valescu?
Look, I'm happy to move as per the recommendation. However, this will be something that we'll put on the ward briefing agenda just to keep an eye on the issue in the ward.
Thank you, which means that it's essentially tabled, all of the elected members can take note of it and it'll be dealt with among the ward councillors with the staff when you have your ward briefing. Is that seconded? Councillor Clancy, any further discussion? Then well done on moving your first motion, Councillor Clancy, or seconding rather. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Next item on page 31, results of the elections. Hopefully there's not going to be a lot of conflict about this one. Someone like to move that? Councillor Schilling. Congratulations on moving your first motion in council. Would you like to move the recommendation as printed, which is on page 32, simply noting the results?
Yep, I'm happy to move as recommended.
Did you want to speak to that?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, thank you. Well done on seconding your first motion in this new term of council. Any further discussion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. We now go to the City of Marion annual report on page 37. Ms McKenzie would like to draw your attention to some amendments. They are up on the screen for those that can see that. I presume there's no problem with distribution, etc., in a summary to be provided in city limits. So unless any elected member has any other matters which they strongly feel need clarification, Councillor Hutchinson to move.
Yeah, I'm happy to move it, Your Worship, with a couple more amendments. That on page 51, the decision-making structure of council, and on page 53, that's of the agenda, not of the report. not 53. Where is it? 55. That we include a tally of attendance, so i.e. The number of possible meetings that an individual could attend with the total that they did attend. So if you got 30, did you get 25 out of 30, 20 out of 30, whatever it might be. So if that could be added to the motion, please.
I just want to make sure that your intention is clear with staff.
Mm.
Who would be responsible for putting that into effect? Ms. McKenzie? Yeah. So, is that clear?
So a total of the number of possible meetings an individual could attend and the number that they did attend. Mm-hmm. So that's a fairly standard way to report it. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Very well. So there was that. Is that one change? Yeah. Yep. What's your next one? Oh, okay. Yep. It's the same point, but it appears in two places. Understood. So you're moving accordingly. Yes, thanks for throwing that in. Anything else? Then is that seconded? Councillor Hull.
I've got a couple of questions, though, Mr. Mayor. On page 54, there's a fairly good expose of our confidential items. Now, that's for council meetings and committee meetings, but there's no reflection or transparency about the confidential items in the meetings like we had last night, where every item was confidential. So I'd like an explanation as to why we're not being transparent about confidential items in toto, that is, the so-called informal gatherings. By decree, items, many items go into confidence, but the public never get to know about it. And it doesn't appear in our annual report. So is there an explanation for that?
Yes, I suspect that the reference to confidential items means items of business. In other words, where there's a report or a resolution of council. But I'll invite Governance, Ms. McKenzie, to comment.
Yeah. Through the Chair, those that have been recorded in the annual report are those items that have a resolution of council attached to them.
The decreed confidential, which are briefing notes, reports, verbal reports given to council, noting, surely they're just as important as any of the other confidential items that appear in committee meetings or council meetings.
If you refer to page 55 of your agenda, there is a section there listed on informal gatherings, and this does list when we have gone into confidence and on what particular items in that bottom dot point. So there is a number of items that have been listed there.
I remember one particular night where we initially discussed the hotel. I think we can talk about that now. Where there was at least five items on that one night. And that didn't go unnoticed by the messenger journalist, by the way, who peppered me for weeks about it. And ultimately, I brought it to the attention of the State Ombudsman. But I backed off from that because we were nearing an election. But if this is going to continue, it won't. Let me promise you it won't. So
Order. Is that a point of order, Councillor Valesco?
It's an easy way or the hard way.
Well, there's no point of order. I think people can see it for the rhetoric that it is. Okay. Councillor Hull, did you have more to comment on in your seconding?
Well, is there going to be any indication at all as to whether my concerns are being taken seriously or not?
I'll invite staff to comment.
Through the Chair, I believe that the way that we're currently recording the confidential items for briefings is in accordance with our policy. If elected members wish to amend the policy, it will be coming to Council in the first 12 months. Schedule a time for it.
All right, if we can bring that ahead, if we can expedite that, that would be good. Because it's overdue.
The Council is aware that he can bring forward a motion any time to address any of the concerns that he's expressed. Certainly a very experienced councillor, so I'm sure you know the process, Councillor Hull.
Yeah, well, this is just a lead up to it, and I'll take your advice on board.
Right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there anyone opposing the annual report noting amendment and distribution in the recommendation? If not, then I'll simply put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thanks very much. We just got through about a quarter of the agenda. The first budget review, page 209. It's usually the custom here where if there are questions about details, of course there has been an opportunity to ask finance staff prior to this evening about any details, but I will, you know, take any questions if people insist. If not, then just after someone to move the motion. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak to it?
I did meet with the Manager of Finance and go through all the little trivia things that I didn't understand. And the standout for me is the amount of work that we're doing. As I understand, we are doing about $41 million worth of projects and work, infrastructure work. We can be proud of that volume of work that's being done in this year.
Thank you. That's right. This actually is an extraordinarily busy council. That's right. In terms of the productive work that we're putting into place, is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, do you wish to speak? Any further or any opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go to page 228, I think. Getting on to establishing the committees that we have. So there's sort of a two-stage process, in a sense, of actually establishing the committees, and then later on tonight we'll talk about who's going to be on them. So for a start, would someone like to move accordingly? We can. So we've got in front of us, Councillor Hutchinson, what did you want to move on block?
Well, we can talk to any item in any case
you can,
throughout.
Yep.
So
you could cover all of those committees. So just for the record, that's Infrastructure and Strategy, Finance and Audit, Urban Planning and Review and Selection Committees.
Yes.
So moved. Did you wish to speak to that?
No.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, you wish to speak to that? I've got a question from Councillor Telfer.
I'd like to raise the Review and Selection Committee. I'm quite keen that it has a wider role than it has had in the past, and that the objectives of what was the People and Culture Committee are written into the actual motion so that we can acknowledge that there'll be much more, not only the appraisal and selection, but also the work on keeping an eye out on staff, elected members, and also volunteers, their whole performance, but also numbers and structures as well. So I think it's quite favourable that that's included.
Councillor Telfer, that's an excellent question, and I do need to clarify with the mover and seconder, because in relation to review and selection, there is some suggested wording for inclusion in terms of the terms of reference. The suggested wording is in the body of the report, and on page 245 you've actually got an option there. So Councillor Hutchinson, I should have drawn your attention to the option, and what you could put in there where there's a dot point, if you so wished, are the three dot points on page 244. because that's they're the people and culture items that Councillor Telfer was referring to.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was my full intention that we have these discussions and add whatever our colleagues feel is required. So, yeah, more than happy to move that way.
Right, so that's the motion. Councillor Hull, you happy seconding that?
Yeah.
Thank you. So we've got our mover and seconder. In terms of the motion establishing the Review and Selection Committee, we're incorporating those three dot points to do with reviewing basically HR strategies, numbers, etc., listed on page 244, but that should actually go into the motion itself. So thank you for clarifying. Anyone against that? Or then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we can fairly quickly come to elected member representatives for the various positions. Now, I propose to proceed by way of dealing with the chairs of committees first. I beg your pardon, the Deputy Mayor and then the chairs of committees. Still catching up. Was that the point you were addressing, Councillor Hutchins, as Councillor Crossland?
It was going to be one of the points, but I'd also like to suggest that we change the way in which we do the voting to first past the post rather than mess around with preference voting for these positions.
I consider that to be a motion without notice, and at this stage of the evening I wouldn't be prepared to entertain a motion without notice. So I think we must proceed with our established method of voting. If your alternative there is to move dissent from that ruling, if you wanted to.
May we get advice from governance?
Yes, Ms. McKenzie.
So if you disagree with the decision of the Mayor, you can put it to the vote of the Council, and then the Council can vote on whether they accept it or not.
Sorry, Ms. McKenzie, I was wondering, do you agree that it has to go to a motion or can it be dealt with as part of this procedure?
Yeah, the Mayor is correct in that there is a current resolution of Council that says that all positions will be determined by preferential voting. To change that decision, you would need a new resolution. As it's a new term, you wouldn't have to have a rescission motion, but you would need to have a new decision, which would have to come via either a motion or notice or a report.
And upon further reflection, I'll check this with Ms. McKenzie, but I think it's not actually a matter of a point of order. The fact is that a motion without notice can't be entertained without the assent of the person chairing the meeting. So it's not even something that could be overruled. So please bear that in mind for next year, and we can certainly address that in due course. In fact, you can bring in an alternative method of voting with a motion any time you like, but it just needs the required notice. Councillor Hull, is that a question?
Well, look, I accept your ruling. It seems to be quite valid and reasonable under the circumstances, but can I ask the question why administration didn't anticipate this and have the order of business to allow us to actually make that decision as a new group? It just seems...
I get the question. I'll ask Ms. McKenzie to respond.
Through the chair, apologies, it wasn't on the radar.
So it's a bit difficult, I suppose, if a potential problem or change of direction hasn't been brought to the attention of staff. I suppose it's difficult for them to address every eventuality, and also. Elected members are usually quite keen at the first meeting to get straight on with appointment of people to positions. But anyway, we can carry on then. Appointment of Deputy Mayor. It's page 249 that we're dealing with. So I'll ask for nominations. Councillor Hutchinson.
Yes, Your Worship, I'd like to nominate or move the motion that we appoint Councillor Pfeiffer.
Are you willing to stand, Councillor Pfeiffer?
Yes, it would be a pleasure to, Your Worship.
Did you wish to speak further, Councillor Hutchinson? Is that motion seconded, Councillor Crossland? Further nominations? Last chance. Well, if there are no more, then I don't do anything. I put it to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So congratulations, Deputy Mayor Pfeiffer. Must have some taped applause somewhere. Now we go on to the various committees listed on page 251, 252. Now, Ms. McKenzie wanted to say something? Right. So we've got various chair positions listed there. I propose to deal with the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee chair first, so albeit number two on the list. So I'll ask for nominations. I must say, I think it's quite acceptable for people just to put their hand up. I mean, it's very gracious of Councillor Hutchinson, but I don't think it needs a formal motion. Ms. McKenzie, any comment? I think you can just put your hand up if you're interested. There is nothing wrong with nominating someone else, but if you want to put your hand up, there's certainly no shame in that. So I'll ask for nominations to the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee Chair. Councillor Hull, nominating yourself, presumably. Yes, Councillor Hutchinson and Councillor Crossland. So we have three nominations. Last chance, if there are any others. No, we have three nominations. We just happen to have a voting slip in front of you, so remember it is preferential voting, so you can number up to three squares if you wish. That's correct, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, or 1. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, or just 1. Ms. McKenzie?
Sorry. Because you receive a pecuniary benefit, then the answer is yes.
And it's the same for the chair position as well. But and that's the case, isn't it? It means that those people can't vote, doesn't it?
They can't participate in... They can participate in the ballot, but they can't participate in the vote.
Ah, very well. So, seeking governance advice, should we have the vote again? I think we should, just to clarify the position. So, Councillor Pfeiffer's going to leave the room. We're going to put to the vote again... Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Hull, that Councillor Pfeiffer be Deputy Mayor for a year. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. You can ask Councillor Pfeiffer to come back in. So I don't know how staff are going to do it, but that's going to be duly recorded.
Yes.
As the real vote.
Yep.
So... There's no problem yet with the vote for Infrastructure and Strategy Chair, but when the motion, before the motion is moved, we'll ask the three candidates to leave the room. In these situations, staff count the ballots and apply preferences if applicable. They've done that, and they've advised me that Councillor Hutchinson has won the ballot for Chair of Infrastructure and Strategy. So I'll ask, well, it's really just asking Councillor Hutchinson to leave the room, because he will be the subject of the motion. So I'd invite someone to move that Councillor Hutchinson be chair of that committee. Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Telfer. If there's no further debate, I'll just put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. You can ask Councillor Hutchinson to come back in. We now turn to the Urban Planning Committee, and I ask for nominations to chair the Urban Planning Committee. Councillor Telfer, Councillor Pryor, any others? Then we have two nominations, and once again I'll ask you to prepare your ballot. You really only need to put a one, given that there are only two nominations. I've not been given a ballot paper, so I won't be casting a vote. It's irregular, but I'm not going to dodgy up a ballot paper, that's for sure. I'll ask staff to count the remaining ballot papers. Ballot paper. I don't know. Just hope it's not a draw. Right, I've been advised of the result. Councillor Pryor is elected chair, subject to your ratification, of the Urban Planning Committee. So Councillor Pryor's leaving the room, asking for a motion that Councillor Pryor be elected. Councillor Pfeiffer is moving, seconded by Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thanks very much. You can ask Councillor Pryor to come back in. Now I propose to address a couple of the specialist positions. Oh, they're not strictly within... Oh, I see. they're really part of a separate motion. We've got SWARA, a separate page. What about the assessment panel? So we'll deal with the assessment panel. There is both a member and a deputy member to that panel. So for the council assessment panel, one position available. May I have nominations, please? Councillor Duncan. Any others? Then would somebody simply like to move that Councillor Duncan be appointed to the CAP? Moved, Councillor. I beg your pardon. Councillor Duncan, you'll need to leave the room while we have this vote.
Your Worship, do you just want to clarify that point two there as well, the deputy or proxy member?
I think we'll take that as a separate motion. So Councillor Schilling was moving that Councillor Duncan be elected to the CAP. Councillor Hutchinson seconded. All those in favour, raise your hand if you're in favour. Thank you, that's unanimous. You can ask Councillor Duncan to come back in. And now I'll ask who would like to be a deputy member. We still need an elected member there if Councillor Duncan can't make it. So who would like to put the hand up for that? We've got Councillor Telfer. Any other nomination? Councillor Cole, question? I'm not taking that to be the motion, the foreshadowed motion. So I think just ignore that, Councillor Hull. Simple solution. At this stage, I've got one nomination. Checking if there are no others, then Councillor Telfer. I'll have to ask you to leave the room, Councillor Telfer, while we resolve that as well. So that's moved, Councillor Hutchinson. Seconded, Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's unanimous. You can ask Councillor Telfer to come back in. And now I propose to deal with the membership of the various committees. So we'll deal with infrastructure and strategy first. Five elected members we're after. So infrastructure and strategy, who would like to nominate? I beg your pardon? Just asking Ms. McKenzie to clarify that. I thought it was five on infrastructure and strategy, four on urban planning, three on review and selection. Isn't that what we had last year? We've already done the presiding member. I beg your pardon. So that's correct. Ordinary membership positions, so to speak. So we're after four for infrastructure and strategy. Councillor Hull?
Just a question that should have probably been asked earlier. Councillor Masika. How do we ensure that he gets a gig somewhere?
Councillor Masika has written to me and he's indicated a preference for being placed on the Urban Planning Committee. So members can... I hadn't raised it yet, but I was going to. Thank you. It's a very thoughtful question. Thank you, Councillor Hull. So four positions, nominations. Who would like to stand? We've got Councillors Hull, Schilling, Gard and Crossland. If there are no others, then there's no need for you to leave the room with these membership positions, but I'm just after a motion that Councillors Hull, Schilling, Gard and Crossland, what's the wording that you've got in front of you, be appointed to Council appoints those councillors to the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee basically for next year. Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Let's deal with urban planning next for some sort of consistency. So I've had an expression of interest from Councillor Masika. Do I have other nominations for the Urban Planning Committee? Councillor Telfer. Councillor Duncan. And that is certainly sufficient. Are there other nominations? Then I'm after a motion that Councillors Telfer, Duncan and Masika be elected to the Urban, appointed to the Urban Planning Committee. Moved Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Hull. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we're going pretty well. Now, that does leave three other councillors, Councillors Valescu, Clancy and Pfeiffer. Are you all willing to sit on the Review and Selection Committee? No, the mayor is appointed ex officio as chair to that committee, but there are three other membership positions, and the deputy mayor is eligible to be one of them. So it would be rather neat if somebody moved for those three to be members. And there's nothing wrong with Councillor Valescu moving that, is there? No relevant interest. I mean, very interested in the work, but no other interest, no proper interest. Moved Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, we're still going. A couple of other important committee appointments. We'll deal with the Finance and Audit Committee. Two elected members required to work with independent members to review the finances and procedures of the council. It's always a privilege working. It is a hard working committee, but it's a privilege working with some very good minds who are examining what we do. It doesn't matter if you're, obviously everyone is on another committee, so that's no preclusion. Anybody is welcome to nominate. So who would like to? Councillor Gard, Councillor Clancy, any others? If there are no others, then would somebody like to move that those members, Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Hull, that council appoints Councillors Gard and Clancy to the Finance and Audit Committee for the coming year. As printed on the screen. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, the Reconciliation Act Plan Working Group for a two-year period. Obviously, Marion Council's quite progressive when it comes to our relations with the Kaurna people. In fact, I might ask Councillor Hull to tell us a bit about the work of the working group, especially for those new members who may not be aware of what we do.
Well, without going into detail, Mr. Mayor, there is room for improvement in regards to council-Kaurna relationships. But the RAP committee, which is more internal focused in terms of our policy and procedures and our practices, I think is doing a great job. We have employed our first Aboriginal, Aboriginal trainee, which is a great thing, purposely employed, and along with the, as you might remember, the disability one as well. So there's a disabled trainee as well. So both great gestures. And the RAP is all, the RAP committee is also monitoring national trends in terms of RAPs and how they apply to government and non-government agencies. And we're comparing ourselves and pegging ourselves as to how we're performing, and that's going well as well. I think the RAP is actually in some ways leading the way as to how we as a council, as an elected body, should be approaching our attitude and responses to Aboriginal issues, which is a difficult and challenging part of our considerations. So I don't know whether I've missed anything.
I think that's summed it up pretty well. Thank you, Councillor Hull.
Thank you.
So would I have ideally two councillors who would like to be on that working group? Councillor Telfer, Councillor Hull, any others? Then would someone like to move that we appoint those two councillors? Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So that concludes the appointments in this particular report. Well done, everyone. And we just have a couple of external committee appointments. So we move on to page 254. The three councils, Holdfast Bay, Onkaparinga and Marion, have basically established an authority to deal with waste, etc. That facility is overseen by a board which has representatives from the three councils, among others, and we have the option to appoint two people to the authority board. So I'll just ask, perhaps I will ask Mr. Mifsud, who's been on the authority board, just to describe a little bit about the work that's done in terms of the board.
Thank you, Your Worship. So yes, there's two board representatives from each of the constituent councils, so being six board members. There's a deputy representative from each council who can attend any of the board meetings, but they can't vote unless one of the normal board members from their council is not there on the night. Amongst other things, we have a joint venture with a joint venture partner, IWS, which is to put our red bins from the three constituent councils through the Southern Recycling Centre, which is based in Swara. The benefit for that is quite significant for the three councils, because by putting it through the recycling centre, all the organics are actually taken out of the red bins, and it's quite a lot higher than you'd think. What that means is much less red bin waste goes to the landfill, and the benefit for the councils as well as the environment is significant, because everything that goes to the landfill, there's a substantial environmental levy that we have to pay, which is greater than $100. So there's just some of the high-level stuff, but there's also a significant amount of work that the authority is currently exploring, both in regards to looking at a municipal recycling facility, which our members were advised about last week, solar array on the northern capped area, which will be the first one ever done anywhere by any organisation, and there's quite a number of other things that will go as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mifsud. So as you can see, members, from page 255, there are essentially three ways to fill the two spots. You can have two elected members, one staff member, or two staff members. So first I'll call for nominations from the elected members. Councillors Hull and Crossland. I'll let you, Councillor Crossland, you wish to speak in your nomination?
Would you continue with the staff member on there, being Mr. Misford?
Right. Okay, I think I'd better ask Mr. Mifsud if he's prepared to continue in that role.
Yes, I am, thanks, Your Worship.
Right, so we've really got three possibilities there. Because it's open to members to vote for three different permutations, because it could be Hull Crossland, it could be Hull Mifsud, it could be Crossland Mifsud. So, Ms. McKenzie, what do you recommend in terms of, we've got a little voting slip here, but what do you recommend in terms of us filling it out? Well, I know there's that question of whether it should be elected members or staff, but I think there are those three permutations. It would make more sense to vote on those three options. Sure. That's right. Could I... Yeah, we'll deal with the deputy position later. Councillor, I've got maybe some suggestions from the floor. Councillor Cross, Councillor Pryor.
We could vote for the deputy position, therefore effectively voting for the other two positions at the same time.
We could. It's traditional to vote for the deputy position after the substantive position, I have to say. Councillor Vlescu?
It would be good to determine what structure we want, whether it's one with a staff member, whether it's one with two councillors, and then we can vote accordingly if we need to. I'm saying that because personally I would like to see a staff member on there, but that's my view. The council may have a different view.
All right, certainly makes things easier. So I'm after a motion that we that our two representatives to SWARA be two elected members, or an elected member and a senior staff member. So who would like to move one of those options? Councillor Vlescu?
I'm going to move option two, which is one of each, as on page 255.
Right. Did you wish to speak any further to that?
Look, I think that the elected members can get the exposure through both the substantive and the deputy role, and I think having the senior staff member allows them to do a lot of work behind the scenes as part of their role to facilitate the success of this committee.
Right. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland? No, please do. You're seconding and you're speaking to the motion.
A bit of background. I've been on SWARA for 4 years. Most councils do have a staff member and one elected member. In fact, one council just has staff, doesn't have an elected member at the moment. Having a staff member on there is invaluable. There is a lot of working questions, meetings that go on, and a lot of phone calls, and it keeps that close working relationship between the three council staff members. So I would recommend that we do stick to that model.
Anyone speaking against? If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. So that's clear. I take it that Mr. Skull, is Mr. Mifsud the only staff member expressing an interest?
Through you, Worship, I haven't heard any interest from anybody else, and I strongly would support Mr. Mifsud continuing because he's done a great job.
Excellent. Well, that clarifies that aspect. So really, we proceed then to a ballot for the remaining full representative position. One vacancy, two nominations. So I'd invite you to vote accordingly. Thank you. unlike the council committees we were talking about, this is being put forward as a four-year appointment. We won't proceed with the deputy position just yet. Then the only other voting on positions, as far as I know tonight, is for the all-important Metropolitan Seaside Council Committee. So have a think about who would like to nominate for that. I'm advised that Councillor Crossland is successful there, so we have some continuity. Before we resolve a motion, I'll ask who would like to nominate as a deputy for that SWAR authority. I've got a Councillor Hull. Any others? Then that would seem to be resolved. So I'm after a motion that Council appoints Councillor Crossland as Council's representative on the board, appoints Mr. Mifsud as Council's representative on the board, and appoints Councillor Hull as deputy for a term consistent with the provisions of the authority charter, 4 years. So moved by Councillor Vlescu, seconded by Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Thank you. Right, we can move forward to page 265. Now, these are the people that that we rely on to have our back when the tidal wave comes. The Metropolitan Seaside Councils Committee, it's not all sideshow stalls and jetties, you know. Do I have a nomination? Councillor Gard. I think there's a wave of support behind you, Councillor. There being no other nominations, would someone like to move? I'll just ask if there's a proxy. If anyone, I'm not saying that Councillor Gard is replaceable in the full sense, but does anyone want to be a proxy on that committee? We can probably survive without one. And I think Councillor Gard will be giving that committee his full attention, so we may not need one anyway. And you'll notice that the recommended motion is to include the Senior Environmental Planner as a council representative as well. So would someone like to move appointing Councillor Gard as council's rep for the duration of the current term and the Senior Environmental Planner as printed? Councillor Pryor, so moved. Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded. All those in favour, it's carried unanimously. Thank you very much and congratulations, Councillor Gard. Oh my goodness, there is another one. Now, this one has been, was sort of buried in the paperwork. We didn't actually deal with this on the last council term as far as the elected member nominations concerned. It's the Dial Before You Dig board. Marion Council was a founding member, and council's entitled to appoint two persons to be members of the board. Traditionally, our Manager of Engineering and Field Services, most recently Matthew Allen, has been our rep. That may be sufficient, but if an elected member would like to put their hand up, now's the time. All right, we'll have to leave the heavy lifting to Matthew Allen then. So would someone like to move as printed? Councillor Pfeiffer. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Appointment of date, time and place of council meetings. So there's a lot in that. Would someone like to move as printed? Right, so it's moved to, The suggestion is, after we had a discussion last night, that the schedule be as on the screen, not as on page 277. There are some suggested amendments. So one less forum, one forum to have the date moved. There are few changes to committee meetings on the 4th of December, basically a late start for a couple of the committees. Is that all? They're the only changes. October. What was the discussion we had about October? No, sorry. The 15th July moves to the 29th of July, and I think it's leaving the 15th of October with no meeting scheduled. Is that right?
Correct, and then the 5th of the month, the 5th of October. The 5th one in October was going to take up that elected member.
So those Julys become October, and it was actually the one in July we were not going to have a meeting scheduled.
Yes, so that's the 9th.
The 9th, in fact, not the 15th. Oh, you've got that.
Yeah. Mm.
We're just clarifying what's up on the screen there. Okay, so one moved and one cancelled, basically, from the original suggestion. Would somebody like to move accordingly? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Blescu. Did you wish to speak, either councillor? Then anyone in opposition, councillor or amendment, Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, as I explained last night, I don't support this. I remember quite clearly the last at least couple of years where there seemed to be overcapitalising of forums where we really didn't have enough time to get through all the items. And I certainly remember the council agendas, voluminous council agendas, to the point where we never got to questions without notice or motions without notice. Basically, all those agendas were crammed. And I don't think that's really a healthy way of approaching governance, to actually have your agendas crammed up. Now, we've got four new elected members. Some seem to think they are equipped to go forward without having additional forums. I say that's not a considered outlook. I think there's a lot to learn going forward. I've been here a long time and I'm still learning. I just think there's folly, particularly if some of us, like the Mayor, who wants to actually decamp at 9:30 on the knocker. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't hope to get out of here at 9:30 and that was with the last term. We were overburdened last term, and now we're talking about reducing the opportunities for forums. If you don't have the forums, then you ask the questions and you get the briefings in council meetings. There's no other way of doing it. And then if you're going to reduce the council meetings, that's just a double whammy. So I just think that we're just trying to be a little bit cute with this, that we're trying to do as much in less time. And I don't think that is the way to go. So I may have a difference of opinion with members around the chamber on this, but for those who are on the last council term, you should have some insight into what I'm talking about, surely. yeah, like I say, if you want to get out of here 9:30 without having continual extensions, how many council meetings did we have to extend last term? Because we couldn't get our business done before 9:30. So, anyway, over to you.
Just a bit of information. I've just been conferring with Ms. McKenzie about the number of General Council and Forum meetings planned, not compared to this year because we had caretaker period, it's a bit irregular, but with a previous financial year, which gives us a more accurate reading, and that is contained in the annual report. So, as I understand it, there are 18 General Council meetings planned, and that matches the 17-18 financial year, so the same number. In terms of forums, there were 18 that we had, and there are only 13 planned for next year. So same number of council meetings, less forum time is planned with the motion that's before you.
Thanks for pointing that out. The other thing is that...
I thought you actually had finished your time, Councillor. So you've made your point.
I thought you were answering a question, sorry.
Well, I was, but you had finished your time. Is anyone speaking in favour of the motion, Councillor Telfer?
I speak in favour of it. I think it's important that as many elected members as possible come to those meetings and that they put in during the meetings, and so we're looking for efficiencies. We now have some of our strategic plans going forward already running. I believe that we can move forward. If it's on constantly, we find there's a creep for us losing a few people along the way. So I look forward to having people there.
Thank you. The other issue that was raised about extending council meetings, there probably were, I would say at least half, where we went beyond the 9:30 allocated time, but the vast majority of those, I would say, were by no more than 15 to 20 minutes at the most, so it wasn't by much. Now, anyone else speaking against the motion? If not, the mover can close the debate. Nothing to say. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. Thank you. So that sets our timetable. Of course, with the informal meetings, there is nothing to stop us if issues arise in allocating additional time to deal with issues. So this is this might be seen as really the minimum, those 36 or so meetings that we have planned in addition to the council committee meetings. Right, next we have the council members' allowances and benefits policy. Because the mayor has an entitlement in addition to that of the other elected members, it would be appropriate for me to vacate the chair, and I invite the deputy mayor, Councillor Pfeiffer, for his first time presiding over the meeting.
Thank you, members. Look, this does seem to be a fairly simple one, so do I have a mover for this particular one? Councillor Velasco?
I just would like to bring members' attention to... there was some information here about the allowances and benefits in relation to having a home line, if members wanted, and I just wanted that for all elected members if they did want a home line installed, as opposed to having a number diverted to their mobile, that's included as well. And that's what's happened in previous terms. So there is that option.
Sure. Thank you. Councillor Gard, were you prepared to second? Yes.
Were there any speakers against the motion? No, that being the case, can I please put that to a vote?
It's always bothered me over many years that do we have a conflict of interest in voting on remunerating ourselves with this money?
Look,
well, the mayor's doing that.
Fair point.
Through the chair, the conflict of interest provisions talks about a council business, and this policy is considered a council business, except when it highlights an individual benefit. So within the policy, there is separate benefits that apply to the mayor only as part of the mayoral position, which is why he needs to exclude himself. But for the rest of council, there is no conflict, as is an exclusion within the Act.
So there is an exclusion.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And further to that also, in terms of the monetary side of it, that is legislated, that's set by the tribunal. It's just the additional services like phone lines and whatnot that we actually have control over. Okay, that being the case, I would like to put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Thank you. I declare that unanimous. Thank you. And I suppose I'll be jumping out of the chair again. No, Councillor Gard.
Yes. First of all, for a longer
page 293. Look, this is another fairly minor one in the general scheme of things. And at this point, I'll hand back.
I was elected members and members of the public. I was just admiring the wonderful history display out at the in the foyer, the tribute to Colin Phelps, who was one of the members of our armed forces in World War II, and a local. Now, what are we up to? Page 293. That seems to be pretty straightforward. Someone to move? Councillor Vlescu, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Coastal Climate Change Adaptation Planning, page 295. There was a massive document that came with this one. So I must say Marion Council is really a leader in Adelaide when it comes to examining potential local effects of climate change, and this is a substantial part of the work. Do I have someone to move the motion? Councillor Gard, do you wish to speak to that?
So I do commend this motion. There's a lot of work to be done, as we can see, and there's consultations ahead of us, and we'll know a little bit more about what our actions are once those consultations are through. But I did mention probably almost a year ago now that an alliance was forming between the regional and the metropolitan councils, stroke LGAs, that is going to really add a tremendous amount of bite, in my belief and everybody else's belief, I believe, as to representation to government, and also getting a clearer and better picture of where we stand and where we have to go on this all too serious issue. So I do congratulate our staff deeply for the amount of substance that they've put together for this, and it's one of those things that's educative, I think, for all of us. It's one of the great things about being on council, when you have a subject like this that comes at you and you actually get into it yourself and contribute. So that's one of our privileges, I guess. But I've got, I'll just close off by saying that I have a very warm feeling about the processes that we're entering. It'll take some 12 months of getting together the new alliance. There is an agenda that's just been set. I was at a meeting of the council, Metropolitan Seaside Councils, last week, and that agenda has been set, and there is a very good representative. Her surname leaves me. Anita is her first name. She's from the Port Pirie area, and she has an enormous amount of drive, and I think that will be an asset to us and every other council that stands to benefit.
So Thank you, Councillor Gard, and I did appreciate your sense of humour in saying that the climate change report gave you a very warm feeling. Councillor Crossland wishes to second the motion. Any opposition? No. Question, Councillor Hull.
How much dialogue happens, and it's probably a segue for Councillor Gard in his newfound role on the Seaside Councils. How much dialogue do we actually have with Onkaparinga and Holfast Bay to south and north of us in terms of the work we're doing? Like, you know, is there any collaboration with the what's the committee called? Resilient South? Because it would be useful if we were working in tandem.
Short answer is yes. I might ask Ms Dixon to comment.
Through the chair, yes, collaboration is a key part of developing this plan. It will be a regional plan, and working with those councils is a big part of it.
Well, it's great that Councillor Gard's moved this and on that Seaside Councils, because Councillor Pryor and myself were saying that we really don't want to have a beachfront at Warrakowie Ward. So, you know, thank you.
Well, it's all right. You've got Councillor Gard keeping the waters at bay. Holdfast Bay. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we go to dogs on and off leash areas, page 307. I know there was a suggestion of a change during the day. Has that been incorporated into the wording? Perhaps just go over to Councillor Pfeiffer to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. That was me who suggested some alternate wording.
Well, and it's up on the screen, I just point out.
Yes, it is up on the screen in the blue there. I'll briefly speak to this. As you'd seen in your reports, members, the Edwardstown Oval, the consultation on Edwardstown Oval in terms of being dogs on or dogs off leash was fairly evenly split. It was about 49 to 51, I think. It is a bit of a hot issue down our way. For those new members and also continuing members, you recall that when we were looking at a new dog park late last term, we considered we endorsed $30,000 to go to the Dumbarton Avenue Reserve, which is not to be an official dog park, but it is an off-leash area. Now, that off-leash area is around about 150-200 metres from Edwardstown Oval. So what I've suggested here is that when we are declaring that to be an on-leash area, Edwardstown Oval and the velodrome, that is, that we, through signage, we actually direct the public to the Dumbarton Avenue off-leash area. Just another one, just briefly to cover that point two off as well, and I can't speak, I'm sure we'll have a seconder who can speak to points three or four, but in relation to that point two, this tidies up a really tricky situation that we had at Edwardstown Oval, where we actually had four different dog zones on the one side. So the playground, as all playgrounds are on-leash areas. The oval itself was off-leash. The velodrome, which you had to cross to get to the oval, was on-leash, and the memorial gardens were on-leash. So this does clarify it now that the whole area will be on leash. And look, the main reason behind that is the velodrome itself. Now, for those of you who have ever strapped yourself into a track bike, it's terrifying. But it's a track bike doesn't actually have brakes. You pedal backwards to stop things. So if a dog runs in front of you when you're on a track bike doing 70 clicks, or 60 to 70 clicks, it could easily be goodnight nurse if you're not quick to dodge it. So, look, I think dogs and very, very fast bikes are probably not an awesome mix. I know that there probably will be a little bit of noise in the community about this, but I think through directing the public to the fantastic Dumbarton Avenue Reserve down the road, hopefully we can alleviate some of that. Thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer.
I actually have found number three quite a dilemma. The dilemma is that we have a committee of management that probably represents 400 people. They wrote to council, they asked for the dogs to be on leash. We did a community survey and we got 12 people more that said they wanted it to continue as is. So all I can think is that we go now and continue as is, and maybe we come back again, because I think it's quite hard for council. Council asks a community group of volunteers to run an oval. They ask them to pay $9,000 rent. They ask for some particular aspect, and we say, oh no, we'll ask the community, and those dog users that use the oval have voted for it. It's unusual in that we have a southern oval where the Dover Dog Club has 512 members. They use that on the whole. The reason the northern one's used is a bit more sun. they're both, and the grass is a bit better because it's ready for cricket and football rather than general use. However, the Dover Dog Club have praised the quality of the oval that they are currently using, and they're very thrilled with their facilities. So this is a vexed question, but it is about dogs' treatment inappropriately of the oval, and there are some measures in the agenda that we'll wait and see.
So that was seconding the motion. Anyone speaking against any aspect? Councillor Crossland?
It's not speaking against, it's just a suggested amendment to the motion with point four. Where it says, declares the area south of the Field River. You'll see from the map it's not south, it's the mouth of the Field River, slightly north and south. So I just think that might mislead the public if we just say it's south of the Field River. It's not helped by the fact that the Field River mouth moves slightly north and south. So I think the mouth of the Field River would be a better description than south. The area around the mouth, I would say, including the Rocks Beach area and sand dunes.
I've got a couple of questions, Your Worship. First of all, I just want to clarify that playground is actually no dogs at Edwardstown. Isn't that the case?
Dogs
on lead, but there is a certain distance where people can't have their dogs at all? 5 metres from the playground. Okay. You can't actually have your dog within a certain vicinity of a playground.
Just ask Ms Dixon to clarify, what's the prohibition around playgrounds?
Through the chair, so the current bylaw requires within 5 metres of a playground that a dog be on leash. I think Councillor Vlescu is, there's been some questions around the recent Henry Street playground, which is got a gate around it. With the bylaw, with the existing bylaw, people could still take their dog into that playground as long as it is on the leash. So should, and I suppose there, should council want to look at reviewing the playgrounds that are under fencing, then we can bring that back to council, and we would recommend that we do further consultation.
I think we need to clarify that issue, because I wasn't actually bringing that one up, but I think we'll discuss that later. My other question was, I did have a resident approach me about a reserve being no dogs in that reserve, so I'm just wondering what the process would be for that. It wouldn't be included here. We'd have to go through another consultation. And when would be the appropriate time? Because there may be other ones that come up.
Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, yes, so if Council wanted to declare a reserve as no dogs, then we would need to go through a process of amending the existing bylaw. Maybe if Ms. Perrin wants to come up just to clarify the procedure.
Ms. Perrin.
Good evening. It can be quite a confusing matter. Under the current bylaw, council is able to declare certain areas as dog-free, that is, dog-banned, and council can do that by resolution. I would recommend, if council was considering that, that, as Ms. Dixon said, the community consultation occur. If council wished to declare all fence playgrounds as dog banned, then that would require, it would be recommended that that be an amendment to the bylaw. But if council wanted to declare just a certain few specific areas, council has that prerogative under the bylaw.
So to initiate that, it would be a matter of bringing a motion which would have inherent in it the consultation and then coming back with a further report. That would be our usual way of doing it, wouldn't it?
Through the Chair, yes. And so if there are councillors who wish, we'd suggest you meet with staff and we can work through a resolution that brings it in and outline the process to council for consideration.
Okay. Councillor Hull. The hooded plovers. I think the actual area is delimited, isn't it? It's a wonder that we didn't. I guess one of the questions could be, why isn't there a map, attached to the motion that would allow a specific area, because you're going to have a problem with enforcement, aren't you? I'll ask Ms. Dixon to comment.
Through the Chair, so staff are aware of the intent of this motion and would work on the map that we use for the consultation process. We will need to think about how best to communicate that to the community through signage as well.
Presumably, if it all goes through, there'll be signs, and that'll give people a pretty clear idea of the area that's intended. But it's a good question, Councillor Hull. Any other comments on this? Then there hasn't really been opposition points made as such, but some good food for thought. So I'll just put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Next, I would suggest that we deal with the questions taken on notice register, the work health and safety report and the finance report. They could be moved en bloc, which will Councillor Telfer so moved. Did you wish to comment, Councillor Telfer?
No, I'm grateful for the work that was in the finance report. It's a very solid report, and the appendices have got a lot of material in them, and we're grateful for that.
Councillor Hutchinson seconded. Did you wish to comment, Councillor Hutchinson? Any questions? If you have any questions,
that'll be your speaking opportunity as well. Councillor Hull?
There's a partial explanation. I'm talking about page 326, and it's the 50% increase in parking fine and expiations from 1617 to 1718. 50% is a lot. Is there more to this? Like, you know, this is a $283,000 increase in 1 year. So have we got, you know, some gun council inspectors now, or what's brought this about?
Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, we do agree it is a significant increase. There were, from the previous years, there were significant periods where we had staff vacancies that we weren't able to backfill, which explains, you know, the significant increase in income as well. And we have also done, through the service review, are continuing to improve the way that we allocate resources to managing parking in the city.
So these men and women are certainly paying their way in the work they do.
Through the chair, yep, we're aiming to address parking hotspots, and that when we're effective in that, that does increase the revenue. Long term, the aim is to gain a level of compliance with the parking regulations in the city, so we're not finding as many people and they understand what is and isn't prohibited. Yep.
I do have a follow-up question, actually, in relation to that table on page 326 about relative expiation fee revenue. I note where we are less than Mitcham, Tea Tree Gully and Holdfast Bay, for example. I just want to check, are they dollars in absolute terms, so they're not relative to the size or the population of the councils? Mr. Mifsud can answer that.
Through the chair, Your Worship, yes, they are dollars in absolute size.
Thank you. So that is interesting, because Tea Tree Gully is our most comparable council, and they have about a 25% higher expiation fee revenue. From the review, we know that they police their Westfield more than we do. Interestingly, Holdfast Bay, which is, what, about a third of the size, roughly, have a significantly higher parking fine revenue. I guess that's all those beach visitors. Mitcham as well, a smaller council with a higher parking fee revenue. And in a sense, the outlier is Ongaparinga, the biggest council in South Australia, with almost no expiation fee revenue. So maybe you can park where you like down there, I don't know. Councillor Hutchinson, you had a question?
I was just going to enlighten you on the Ongaparinga somewhat, and it's been stated in a public forum, not just through my personal knowledge of their expiations, but they have more dogs than people in Ongaparinga. And a lot of their time is actually spent in animal management versus parking. So I guess they have a different emphasis than what we might.
I should stress that's your personal experience of parking fines, not as a motorist, but in your professional capacity.
Yes.
Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, in addition to that, Ongaparinga don't have a Westfield. In fact, Colonnades has free parking as long as you want. So get down to Colonnades.
I thought you were going to say get down to the Hallett Cove Shopping Centre, but yeah, maybe not. Right. If there's nothing else, I'll put the motion in respect of those three items. All those in favour, raise your hand if you're in favour. Thanks. That's carried unanimously. Now, there's a confidential item. Because we've got people, members of the public in the gallery, and I think they're interested in one of the motions coming up. With the leave of the council, I would suggest that we move the confidential item right to the end. So, and for the new members, basically, when I say that, it means that if anyone objects, that's fine, we can have a vote about it, about the order of procedure. But if no one objects, then we just do it. So it's a common sense way of kind of reordering the agenda on the run. So there being no objection, we'll deal with that confidential item last on the list, and that brings us to page 348. The Marion Cultural Centre Services, Councillor Valescu to move, I think.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've moved this motion just to allay the concerns in the community about the facility and the future of the facility. Last year we got a third party approached us unsolicited with a suggestion about combining a hotel facility at the Marion Cultural Centre, and the process for that was to find out what the details were and put it to the community, but before that we had to have an expression of interest, and that was the first time the community heard about it. Now, a lot of questions, a lot of concerns and a lot of angst, and I think the information we got out there may increase the angst, because it's not the sort of thing we deal with all the time. At the same time, we had a 5G provider that did exactly the same thing. We went to expressions of interest. We went through the same process, and there was no concern at all. So this is all a bit new to us. Ultimately, the community has been very vocal that they are concerned about this facility. They'd like it to stay as it is. They'd like the services to stay as they are. I think it's highly unlikely that there will be anything offered on that building after we got the expressions of interest. But I think we actually need to cement that in the minds of the community. We have to guarantee them, we have to show them that we're not actually here to take away the facility. There are still petitions going round about this issue. We may think it's dead because of the information, but it's still going on, and it's still alive for many people. And it's not just this issue. It's feeding into the distrust of government, the scepticism that people have. And I think this is the opportunity for us to make a clean break. There will be difficult decisions that council will make later in other aspects. You know, let's burn our goodwill on those ones. Let's not burn the goodwill on this one. It's an opportunity for us to reset. It also shows that we are listening. And it's not just the arts groups, it's not just certain groups. The issue's permeated throughout the community. I've had at least half of the people that I spoke to during the campaign or before that period were saying, look, you're going to demolish the facility. You know, what's Marion doing? Even at work, people are bringing it up, or you're going to demolish the building, regardless of whether they agreed with it or not. So the message that's got out there, we know it's not the case, but people think, we don't care, we're going to demolish it. So we just have the chance now to reset, to say, look, we're going to guarantee the retention of the services and the building, and allows for some complementary renewal. So that's why I did that bit in. So councils, here we have the opportunity to put this issue to bed, to work with other stakeholders at other locations for a hotel facility if we so please, and just move on with the rest of the issues that we'll have to tackle in this term. Thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull.
Happy to second it. Mr Mayor, Councillor Valescu is quite right in terms of how this all unfolded just before the election. This motion, Councillor Valescu's motion, proves that there is an issue still there that needs to be closed. The council had the opportunity just before the election to actually do exactly what this motion is intended to do, but unfortunately the council of the day decided to only retain the services. That didn't mention retain the building, and that's where it actually remained a live issue going into the election. And there was no misunderstanding. The council's press release suggested that the prospect was, if the expression of interest was successful, the building would be demolished. There's no other way you could do it. But the site was earmarked for a hotel. That was a proposal. And it still annoys me to this day, Mr. Mayor, that I somehow twisted it around and was engaged in scaremongering.
Because I'm glad you made that admission. Thanks, Councillor Hull.
That was out of order. That's the first one this term.
You said it, not
no,
me.
No. That point, is point totally of order. Inappropriate. You interjected while I was talking and then misrepresented me in the process.
I'll extend your time to finish your point. Is that point of order?
Point of order. I think you can't really say that, because in a council meeting you admitted telling somebody that we were going to demolish the building. So that isn't, you can't then say I didn't never said it.
Well, Mr. Mayor, he's referring to confidential.
That would be, there's no point of order because it's a point of debate. There'll be an opportunity to speak in the debate and refer to Councillor Hull's record if desired. But Councillor Hull, I'll ask you to continue. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Crosland just referred to a confidential matter. Did he not?
I advise you to continue. I'll give you, a few extra seconds, but I advise you to continue making your
multiple
points.
Breaches happening here tonight.
I'm sure you'll deal with them in due course, but for now, let's keep to the subject matter.
Mr. Mayor, the community are not stupid. They could see that press release and read between the lines. I didn't have to spell it out. The fact that people got upset about it was because they understood. They understood what the intention of the council was, to put hotel on that site. And if you're going to put a hotel on that site, that was what the proposal was, the building would have to go. Simple. I didn't have to draw pictures. This motion actually goes a long way to actually putting this to bed. Okay? And I think that's where I need to bring this back to without inappropriate sledging and whatever else is happening here tonight. So this is about putting it to bed, putting the community's mind at ease and moving on from this. So, this is our opportunity.
Anyone speaking in opposition? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm not sure if people can remember, but 7 days ago we took an oath to be impartial in our decision making and to make decisions on behalf of the whole community with consultation. If you want to make a decision that prevents us considering any opportunities within council, I suggest you go to community consultation and say a consultation on if council gets any opportunity to improve the building, to improve the services, that the community are happy for us to say no. And that's what I don't think that will be the case, but I'm happy for you to test it. Go out there. There was one person in the coastal ward that ran with the mantle of save the Marion Cultural Centre. He got 154 votes compared with 2,500. So if you want that as a consultation, that's what happened down south.
Order.
A point of order, Councillor Hull.
Reflecting on that candidate, on that sole issue, doesn't take into account all the other virtues.
No, order, order, that is not a point of order. It's a point of debate, and you've had your say. Others will have to take that up if they wish to. It's a debating point, and that's all it is. I will respond to the suggestion that Councillor Crossland has breached confidentiality in some way. Councillor Hull, you will recall that there was a code of conduct complaint upheld against you, and in the course of that discussion, some points were made, and it seemed to me that Councillor Crossland was drawing on that information, not an earlier confidential discussion. So in terms of you taking the matter forward, I just ask you to bear that in mind. But there's no point of order. Let's continue with the debate. Is there anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? If there isn't, then I'll ask the mover to close the debate. Councillor Blescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. Once again, this is an opportunity for us to put this issue to bed. I agree that we probably should have had a step earlier on. We should have actually, when there's a community facility that's going to be impacted by unsolicited offer, we probably should have in our guidelines that we speak to the community and the stakeholders and say, look, we've actually had someone approach us and these are the pros and cons of us moving forward. And in order to get the details, this is what we have to do. But instead, we went through the process and then when we told people it may not be happening, we don't have the details, but we will just wait until we actually get a plan, a concrete plan you can say yes or no to, it creates distrust. And there is a distrust for government. There is a distrust for authority at the moment. And this is feeding into it. And I don't think we are going to have anything. I don't think that we're going to have any sort of proposal, any concrete threat. But I think we need to... But it's a very real concern for people.
Councillor Valescu,
This is probably a good moment for me to just illustrate as Chair that closing the debate is the opportunity to respond to points that have been made in the debate in opposition to the motion. It's not an opportunity. And look, in the last term of council, it was used a lot to just regurgitate the same points. Now, I was listening carefully, and you're making good points, but strictly speaking, they should be not new points or repeating points from your earlier contribution. So you've got more time. I'll allow you to respond to the points made in the debate, but just bear in mind that's really what the closing is for.
Thanks, Your Worship. I appreciate the constructive feedback. The points made that only a few of the community members are actually concerned, we never actually surveyed the community on the issue, and I don't think we can use that. And I also think that there are different services for different people in the community, and quite often there may be only a small group of people that are affected by some issue, but it is important to them. However, how we treat people on a small issue that doesn't affect people does actually reflect on all of us as a council. So there may be a group we may disregard and say they're just a group of noisy, squeak your wheel, we'll have nothing to do with them. But if it looks like we're ignoring people, if it looks like we are treating them in contempt, it actually undermines the good work that we do as a team. So any of the councillors that have done that, I'm just using that as a general example.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. Division is called by Councillor Hull. Now, what we do here, all those who are in favour, please stand. So they are Councillors Pfeiffer, Valescu, Clancy, Pryor, Hull, Telfer, Hutchinson, Schilling and Duncan. You may sit down. Those against, Gard and Crossland. The motion is carried. Thank you. Got all that? Right. Now, Councillor Telfer to move in relation to Selgar Avenue, Clovelly Park.
Your Worship, I sent through a notice at 3:30 today, asking to withdraw that motion if you're prepared to consider a motion without notice. I understand that's the procedure. It's not appropriate to vary, but a motion without notice. I can explain why if you'd like me to explain the reason.
Please, Councillor Telfer, can you identify the key differences between your earlier motion and the one you've submitted today?
Right. I put up a motion. The suggestion was that I have a look at another report coming back that lists options so that the level of partnering and the appropriate costings can be considered in the report that comes back, because the information that I raised and was responded to, for some elected members approached me and said they didn't have costings and they didn't have sufficient information. So if a better report comes back, listing and showing the diagram where it is and listing the options and the costings, maybe it is a better, more useful exercise for council. So that is why I'm asking your indulgence to I've put in a notice to withdraw for you to consider a motion without notice.
Councillor Telfer, I'm at a real disadvantage here. I don't have your motion in front of me, and I think it's a little bit unfair on members generally.
All right.
Mr. Lyons hasn't seen the new version either. Can I just ask, would it hurt if it came back in December in terms of timing?
No, I have withdrawn it anyway now. So.
Yes.
So, no, I only asked in terms of allowing a motion without notice, because I do realise it's the same subject matter, that it may be better if you bring the motion to the next council meeting with respect, because it just allows us all to appreciate the nuances of your revised motion. So I appreciate that. Thanks, Councillor Telfer. We note the question with notice. And that leaves us only with the confidential item. Both Councillor Hull and I have indicated a relevant interest. And I do hope you won't think I'm running away, but I will depart the meeting permanently and leave the chairing to Councillor Pfeiffer for the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, members. As this is a listed as a confidential item, I'll ask for a motion to move into confidence. Moves Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That looks to be carried by a majority. Councillor Gard, not voting? Not voting, Councillor Gard? No? Yes? We are? Okay, that's good. Thank you.